The Metropolitan Planning Commission is holding a virtual meeting in an effort to be compliant with local, state, and state regulations regarding social distancing and to maintain the health and safety of all those involved in these public hearings. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgements. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board will then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at that time, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want it to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity to speak by the board. Finally, the board will take action. If you'd please mute yourself while unless you have a question, that would be helpful. Thank you. All right. Our first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. I need a motion.
This is Coles. I make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Noah, second.
All right. I'd like to do a voice vote on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. The personnel committee that was scheduled for 11:30 this morning was canceled due to illness from our chair. The next meeting, August 31st, 2021, will be a regular MPC meeting at 1:30 p.m. It'll be the Planning Commission, and you can go to webinar and get access through mpc.org or join us here at the Arthur Mendoza Hearing Room. All right, items requested to be removed from the agenda. A zoning map amendment for Sweetwater Station. Is there anyone here to speak on Sweetwater Station? All right, I need a motion.
So moved, Coles.
No, it's second.
All right, do a voice vote, please. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Our consent agenda is approval of the July 20th, 2021 briefing and regular meeting minutes. Are there any questions? Do I have a motion?
Second, Noah.
All right. Voice vote, please. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, on to old business. Zoning map amendment 1103 East 69th Street, rezone request from RSF 6 to OI. All right, Marcus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This item is an item that you initially heard on June 29th at the MPC regular meeting. The applicant was requesting to rezone the property from RSF 6. Which is a single family classification to the BN neighborhood business classification. This request was pursuant to the proposed development of the subject property for a medical office. The Planning Commission continued the hearing to allow staff and the applicant to review alternative classifications that might accommodate the surrounding area better than the proposed BN zoning classification. This is a vicinity map that shows the subject property. As you can see, it's located here on 69th Street, adjacent to Waters Avenue, which is a north-south corridor here. This is a photo of the subject property, which is currently vacant. And a number of properties within this block face are vacant or undeveloped. The petitioner's property includes these properties that are abutting Waters Avenue, and their intention is to develop these properties with medical office, similar to the adjacent medical office you see at this location. But the only property under consideration for rezoning is the highlighted property here, which under the originally requested BN classification, staff found that the uses permitted in the BN zoning district were not appropriate, because as you get further east on particularly 70th Street on both sides, that street is developed with single family residential, and those uses are currently active. The Planning Commission found that the BN zoning classification was too intense for the area, and in review of alternatives, staff found that the office institutional zoning classification might be more appropriate based on the permitted uses within that district versus those that are in the BN district. The BN district is a district designed to accommodate neighborhood scale commercial uses such as convenience stores and restaurants, where the office institutional classification we found to be more compatible with the overall area, even though there are existing BN properties, which I'll show you on the zoning map, that are that abut Waters Avenue. We did discuss, of course, with the applicant, the option to rezone this property to the office institutional classification and maintain the BN along the corridor. They are in support of the staff's recommendation. We did not receive any additional public comment from any of the property owners or residents within the general area, and we are recommending approval of OI for the subject property. And I'll be happy to answer any questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is the petitioner here? Please state your name for the record. All right. Would you like to share with us your thoughts on?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, we have worked with staff, and we appreciate the opportunity to have worked with staff, and we are accepting of OI.
All right. Can you state your name again for the record,
please? Nathan Pollard.
All right. Thank you. Do I have any questions for the applicant or for staff? All right. Are there any citizens out there who would like to comment? Please use the raise your hand feature. Mr. Michael Duncan, would you like to comment? Please state your name for the record and share briefly on your comments.
My name is Michael Duncan. I didn't want to comment on that. I was wondering about the Sweetwater. Was it removed from this meeting or what?
Can you speak a little bit louder, please? Sweetwater Station?
Yes.
That is not what we have before us right now. When Sweetwater Station comes up, we will call you.
Yeah, I was just saying, was
removed. I'm sorry. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions for our applicant or staff? All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
This is Marcus Lotson. I just wanted to make sure Mr. Duncan understood that the Sweetwater Station item had been continued to the next meeting.
Thank you. All right. Any discussion? I'll entertain a motion.
This is Coles. I make the motion that we approve the staff's recommendation.
Noah, second.
All right. We have a recommendation to approve or a motion to approve staff recommendation. Mr. Lloyd, Heath Lloyd, how do you vote?
Approve.
Rule Joyner? Tom Whitewoody?
Approve.
Mr. Watkins, Dr. Watkins? Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Joseph Urban?
Yes.
I'd say yes as well. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Travis Coles?
Yes.
Eula Parker?
Yes.
Wayne Noah?
Yes.
And Lorene Bowles? Elise Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. All right. The motion is approved and the project is approved. All right. Our next item is regular business rezoning map amendment for Zero Silk Cope Road, rezoned from PBC to PB. Go ahead, Marcus.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This item is a request, as you mentioned, to rezone property at Silk Cope Road. The property is currently zoned PBC. The petitioner is requesting the B classification. This is in the unincorporated Chatham County. The subject property is a primarily undeveloped parcel. There is a cell tower on the parcel you can make out here at the northwest corner of the intersection of Dean Forest Road and Ogeechee Road. On the northern boundary, the property is bordered by Silk Cope Road, located here. Silk Cope Road provides vehicular access to this property, which does not currently have access to Dean Forest Road or Ogeechee Road. Silk Cope Road has a partially paved width of less than 20 feet. The property itself has a total area of approximately 12.5 acres. Just about 10 acres or a little bit less are highland. The remaining is marsh, which you can see in this photograph, this aerial photograph. It does not appear that any zoning actions have taken place on the property since this, since the adoption of zoning in Chatham County. However, there was a petition in 2018. A rezoning was filed by the adjacent property owner of the salvage business. That petition, however, was withdrawn prior to being heard by the county commission. Staff did recommend denial in that case. The applicant was requesting the same zoning classification as currently being requested today. This is a photo of Highway 17 toward the subject property. As you can see, it's a has a wooded buffer around the property here. This is a vicinity map of the subject property showing its location relative to Highway 17 and Dean Forest Road and Silk Cope Road. This is a tax map of the parcel. The adjacent parcel immediately west of the property is primarily undeveloped, but it does appear to be being used for some sort of outdoor storage. There is a residential property here located at 5510 with a single family residence located on that property. This is the zoning map that shows the adjacent zoning to the subject property. As you can see, the B designation on the north side is that facility for wrecker service. The properties immediately east of this property across from across Dean Forest Road are within the Garden City limits. This property to the south was the subject of some of the conversation during the pre-meeting. This is an existing container storage facility at this location. In the aerial map, you can see some of the uses in this area. in our review of the zoning requests, staff had a number of concerns related to the uses that are permitted within the B zoning classification. The B district is a district that's intended for heavier commercial uses and light industrial uses such as warehousing, manufactured home sales, heavy vehicle repair, container storage, which is the petitioner's requested land use of this property. Staff found that the subject property would be more appropriately developed under the existing zoning when that opportunity presents itself from an infrastructure standpoint. As I mentioned in the pre-meeting, there is no public water and sewer available at this location. From what we could tell, the existing facilities are approximately 1 mile east of this property along, within Highway 17 right away. So until those facilities are closer, it's likely that this property would not be developed with a use that is consistent with the current zoning, which is why we've continued to have inquiries for uses such as outdoor storage. One of the other things that we were concerned about was the access to the property. As I mentioned, Silk Hope Road is a substandard right-of-way. This is the vehicular access to the property at this time. And there, as I mentioned, no access immediately onto Highway 17 or Geechee Road or the Dean Forest Road because of the water feature that runs along here. Our primary concern related to this zoning request is the land use issue. Staff believes that the uses permitted and the type of traffic generated by those uses, which is usually consistent with heavy truck traffic, which would be going to and from this property. And those are the reasons that we're recommending denial of the request to rezone to the B designation.
All right, thank you, Marcus. Do I have a representative for this parcel? When he's done. Could you please state your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Robert McCorkle from the law firm of McCorkle, Johnson & McCoy, representing the petitioner. I'll click open my file here. Bear with me for a second. They took away my magic box over here. She's putting in passwords now. It's beyond my. I'm over here a lot, but not so much that I have a password. All right, appreciate it. As Marcus mentioned, the subject property is a 12-acre tract in the heavy commercial industrial section of Ogeechee Road. The purpose of the petition is to make the property available for container storage and repair, which is a consistent use with numerous businesses immediately surrounding our property. If you read the staff report or you listened to the staff report and you didn't have any context for this piece of property, I think you would have the impression that there are no such businesses in the area, or that perhaps what we're trying to do is the dreaded spot zoning word, where we're trying to drop a use into a piece of property that is not compatible or consistent with the uses that are immediately surrounding it, doing something outside of the ordinary for the area. I would argue to you that this is not the case. I think it is the opposite of the case. I want to take a minute to add some of that context, which I think will be helpful to show you that ultimately what we're asking for is the exact same zoning and the exact same rights that every single property owner adjacent to our property has on their property. On the picture on your screen with my lovely fifth grade level at best coloring, which I apologize for, is the Sages map. Everything shaded in pink on that map is zoned B or PB, which is the zoning that we are asking for in our request. You'll see in this area here, There is a portion of our property that is RA and a sliver of the adjacent property that is RA. It is not a residential use. Our property is undeveloped other than a billboard and a cell tower. And this property immediately adjacent to us, which is the only other piece that has any RA, is Crosby Paving and Grading office. And they have trucks and other things stored and sand and other things stored out there on the site. So it is a contractor's office immediately adjacent to our property. There's not a single residence anywhere immediately adjacent to our property, right here where the mouse.
All through all those emails, lady sent me.
There is a house.
Listen to this.
There is a house in this location right where the mouse is sitting. It is the only residence anywhere on the in the area. It sits on 18 acres of property in between a junkyard and a cemetery. But interestingly, the house itself is zoned B. The whole front portion of that property going back a significant distance is zoned B, and the residence itself sits in the zone that we are currently requesting. If I go to my overhead map here, I'll show you this version first just to show you the amount of wetlands that are immediately adjacent to our site. Our site is where the mouse is sitting. The first 700 feet of our site that are on Ogeechee Road are all wetlands. All river, all marsh, everywhere around on all sides of the intersection of Dean Forest Road and Ogeechee. I think this is important because staff report mentions that this is a significant intersection in Chatham County. And I don't deny that it's a significant intersection as it relates to perhaps the traffic that's coming through that intersection and turning onto Ogeechee Road off of Dean Forest and vice versa. However, it's surrounded by wetlands on all sides and by river on all sides, so that it cannot be developed as a commercial corner on any corner that exists around that building, around that intersection. In addition to that, as Marcus mentioned, there's no water and sewer available at the site, and it's some mile or so away. And so I give all that context to say that the idea that this is going to be a shopping center or a retail site or a in market or something on that commercial corner, on a commercial corner right there, is just really not possible, certainly for decades to come. This is a little bit zoomed in map of the same piece of property to show you all the land that crosses in front of us. It doesn't look like this anymore, but this is what it looked like in 2020. And I think that's illustrative of the fact that there is new development going on in the immediate area. You'll see here that much of this whole area, I believe Mr. Noah mentioned it in the pre-meeting, that all of this area, all this grass right here is now a truck yard and a container storage facility, brand new, partially paved, partially crush and run. And if you move down, you move back behind us on Silcoop Road, what we have right here is a 50-acre auto salvage junkyard immediately across from our property, 50 acres worth of cars. As we move down Ogeechee Road, I'm going to show you some pictures of the uses. This is on Ogeechee Road on our side of the street, the first pull-in on Ogeechee Road when you come off of Dean Forest. It's an auto repair facility, a truck repair facility with cars both located inside and outside the fence. This is immediately across the street. This is container storage yard that is directly across the street from us on Ogeechee Road. This is the next property going down Ogeechee Road. It used to be an auto repair business. It's now a junkyard for cars. And you can actually see in this picture from above, this is all cars all the way back to the wetlands right here. Even though the whole back portion of that property is the other piece of property near us that's zoned RA. It's not actually RA. It's not used as RA. It's an automotive junkyard. This is, as you move further down Ogeechee Road, again, container yard, truck yard. This is not the new portion that's been developed. This is the new portion that's been developed. This is the new truck yard as you move farther down to where Silcoop Road runs into Ogeechee. This is another entrance into the same facility. Again, trucks and containers used on all of that site, which is a very large, recently developed site. As for Silcoop Road, other than the 50-acre junkyard that is behind us and the 40-acre cemetery that's also on the other side of Silcoop, immediately next door, this is Crosby Paving and Grading, which I mentioned before, which partial of this property is zoned RA, like ours, but is used for a paving grading office. This is the immediately next door property to that, which is an auto repair facility. It has cars out there, but it was not open when I've been out there in the daytime, so I'm not sure if it's actually functioning. And then you have the backside with no parking of a small strip center that is on the corner of Silco Road and Ogeechee. And so that is the context for all of the properties that are immediately surrounding our property, both on Silco and on Ogeechee Road. Again, all of which are zoned B, which is what we're asking for. Given this context, I think it's worth looking back at the zoning criteria as referenced by staff in the context that I've shown you. So just hitting the highlights where staff had determined that we were, I guess, gave us a yes and that our property and our rezoning would offend the zoning criteria. The first one is, will the proposed zoning districts permit uses that would create impact and impact the livability and quality of life of the surrounding neighborhood? There is no surrounding neighborhood. The proposed zoning district that we are requesting can't impact the surrounding landowners around us because it is the exact same zoning district that every single one of them already enjoys. The second one is, will the proposed zoning district permit uses that would adversely impact adjacent and nearby properties, rendering them less desirable and marketable as they are currently zoned? So the idea would be that us zoning our property B would make all of the surrounding properties that are already zoned B less desirable or less marketable. Staff found yes, we don't believe that that's the case, given that we would be zoned exactly the same as all of them. Next one is, will the proposed zoning district be incompatible with the type of land use development along such street or highway? I'll go back to the zoning map to show you that this is Silk Cove Road. And other than our property, every single piece of property on Silk Cove Road is already zoned the zoning that we're requesting. If you go out on Ogeechee Road all the way down to the intersection of Silk Cove and beyond, every single piece of property, because this is just marsh, every single piece of property on Ogeechee Road is already zoned the zoning that we're requesting. So again, it's impossible that our request for zoning to B would be incompatible with the land uses on the streets on which our property is located. I say all that not to be combative with staff. I'm not combative with staff in any way, shape, or form. I understand the staff report. I understand the position they're taking. I would say to you that I think it's aspirational. I'm very familiar with Ogeechee Road. As Lee mentioned in the pre-meeting, there is a lot of development going on Ogeechee Road as you get farther up towards Berwick. There's new commercial development, there's new multifamily development. I just went through a ZBA hearing for get a height variance for a brand new apartment complex up there. It's going to be a great project. I've rezoned multiple pieces of property on that stretch. I've been before you before on this road, rezoning property for multifamily and for commercial uses. So I understand. However, in this particular section of Ogeechee Road, that's just unlikely to happen. There is no water and sewer. In order to do it, you would have to get rid of all of these uses, which, as shown, some of them are brand new. And given the fact that there is as much industrial warehousing space in development currently as currently exists in the entire region, meaning that it's about to be doubled, there is a desperate need for truck yards and container yards as already exists in this location. And I think the future land use map, which is also mentioned in the pre-meeting, is worth taking a look at because I believe it's also aspirational. You will see that a portion of the property in between these two roads is shown as commercial suburban, meaning essentially, you know, retail shopping center. Interestingly, the only part of it that's not commercial suburban is the only part of it that is a shopping center, which is in the corner down here. The 50-acre junkyard is shown as residential suburban single family. I question whether or not that junkyard will ever be single family residential, but that's what it's shown on a future land use map. Across the street, it's shown all as transition, which you can't read my writing on here, but is areas of established residential character. And there is no residential character in any of this area. There is no residential in any of this area. So I understand we are against the future land use map and the use that we're proposing. However, I think that our proposed use is incredibly consistent with the existing uses, again, on every single piece of property up to the Chatham County line that touches our property. And so we would ask that you would approve our application as it is made and allow our client to not have to wait for some future development to happen that may or may not happen, but to allow him to make use of his property currently.
Thank you, Mr. McCorkle. All right, questions for the applicant or staff? Wayne, did you have a question?
Explained it better than after.
Okay, are there any other questions for the staff or applicant?
I have a question. What is there any site plan at this point put together, or is this just zoning?
This is just a zoning at this point. We can't do our use for the purchaser of the property cannot do this use without having it rezoned. And so, but we are in a PB district, which I believe requires us to have a site plan when we go through the process. But other than that, no, there's no site plan at this point.
Curiosity, the, you know, the access to the road is substandard, or that Silcope Road would be substandard access. Is that, I believe, what the staff said? Is there any intent to have access off of Ogeechee, or would that be Silcope Road?
I think that's still left to be determined. We have to deal with the state, I believe, if we're doing anything in Ogeechee Road. Silcope Road, it really, as you move down into this part back here, is really where it becomes substandard, as it runs all the way back here. It's almost like a golf cart path when you get to the back. All of this here is a functioning two-lane road. When I think when the junkyard was put there, there's a big turnaround right here that was added in for truck turnaround, because I think they have a significant amount of truck traffic on going back there already.
It's an auction yard.
And so, you know, the good news is it's on a dead end, so there is no traffic coming from the other direction near our site. It's all just going out to Ogeechee Road. But I assume that we're going to have to work with county engineering when we get time to actually do our site plan.
All right, thank you.
All right, I have a couple of questions as well. And definitely the issue of access and the condition of Silcope Road was one of my concerns. That is a county road.
Part of it is, but part of it is not. It's just an access point, correct? When you get to the property.
When you get all the way back to the property back there, but to the property is a county road, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 And Highway 17 is owned by the city. What about that piece that's RA? I do not see it mentioned in this application. Is that?
So this piece that's RA right
no,
here.
No. The piece that you're.
Oh, right here?
Yes.
I sent an email after we originally submitted when I realized that there was a sliver of our piece that's RA requesting clarifying that we were doing for RA. I know our sign, everything said RA and PB to our PB. C to PB. But yeah, I mean, we're requesting to rezone the entire site to PB, not just the portion that is PBC currently.
Okay. Marcus, does that fit what your thoughts were?
Yes, ma'am. We're aware of the portion that they're requested to rezone. Yes.
Okay. And we can move forward with rezoning both the RA and the PBC piece if we so choose.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And future land use, I think I saw that already. So I guess that answers my questions. Any other questions from anyone out there?
One thing I'd like to add, Ms. Jarrett, if I may, just a clarification regarding the future land use conversation. The properties that were identified that are currently incompatible with the existing land uses, as you know, as this board knows, our staff is in the process of updating our comprehensive plan. And when those designations were established, the residential suburban single family, as an example, where the record services, those uses were not present on those properties at that time. But as you know, we're in review and we spend a lot of time on this corridor in terms of the update. So we are aware that there will be changes from a land use map standpoint in this corridor.
All right. Is there a need to revisit it a little bit more?
We're still in that process, actually. We've, as I mentioned, spent a good bit of time on this corridor, and there are changes that will be recommended through the update process.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Are there any citizens out there who'd like to comment? Please use the raise your hand feature. All right. Is there any staff coming in?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Heath Lloyd, City of Savannah. Can I ask Mr. Lotson a question? Sorry, I was trying to click off the mute button. Mr. Lotson, can you speak to the comment in the staff report that Mr. McCorkle laid out that the proposed zoning could result in a less desirable development outcome? I got to flesh out this conversation about what he said in terms of the properties that surround it not being impacted because basically they all have the same zoning. Can you speak to that?
Sure, and I think Mr. McCorkle makes a legitimate point regarding the proposed zoning, but what we're referring to is what the differences are between the current zoning, the uses permitted in that district, the type of developments that typically come within a district like that, versus what's being proposed, which would be very similar to what exists around the subject property today. Those properties that he pointed out on the south side that have been recently converted to container storage, when we looked at that and looked at the B zoning that exists there on the south side of Ogeechee Road, and frankly on the north side, our thoughts, a lot of it was, you know, is that the land use pattern that we want to proliferate here, or do we think the current zoning would allow for a better, more appropriate development at this location? His point regarding the lack of infrastructure here is a valid point. At some point, water and sewer will be available, I'm sure, all along Ogeechee Road. It is not available at this location now, but that was true at one time of the other parts of this road that are now currently developed. I think the example was Berwick, further south of here. So we're looking at this from, I think, a larger, more comprehensive lens than, you know, Mr. McCorkle is for his client's potential development of the property. We're thinking more long term in terms of what we would like to see here.
Thank you, Mr. Lotson.
All right, yes, anything sir. Else? Is there any discussion that commissioners would like to have regarding this one? All right, does anybody have a motion?
Madam Chair, Lee Smith, motion to approve as requested by the applicant.
McCall, second.
All right, and I have a motion to approve the development. That would be not to approve staff recommendation, but to approve the zoning. Mr. Lloyd?
No.
Mr. Joyner? Mr. Woody?
Aye.
Mr. Watkins? Dr. Watkins?
No. No.
Mr. Stevens?
No.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
No.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles? Lorraine Bowles?
Okay, yes.
All right, and I too say yes. So the motion passes. All right, and the next business item is rezoning map amendment 5427, 5431 LaRoche Avenue, rezoned from BN1 EO to BNEO.
Madam Chair, this next item on today's agenda is also a rezoning map amendment request. This is for property located at 5427 and 5431 LaRoche Avenue. The subject properties are located on the south side of LaRoche between Jasmine Avenue and Livingston Avenue. This tax map shows the subject properties highlighted here at this intersection, this new intersection that was recently completed by Chatham County. There's a roundabout that exists here now that gives access to all the cross streets you see on the map here. It's probably better shown here. These are the two parcels that are currently under consideration for rezoning. This is a zoning map that shows the existing zoning classification of BN1 EO. The BN1 is a district that we don't really see that often. There's not that many examples of it in the county. The district is very similar to BN, but it's a BN limited is the best way to describe it. There are a number of uses that are different, a handful, I should say, of uses that are different between the BN zoning district, which you're familiar with, and the BN1 zoning district. And I'm going to go through those in a little bit of detail here shortly, the difference in those zoning classifications. This is an aerial map that shows the subject property. And this property, for the last many years, has operated as a vehicle repair service center. You can see the property located here at this intersection. This picture was obviously taken during the construction of the roundabout. The petitioners are proposing the BN1 because of the fact that the BN district does not permit certain uses, which they hope to establish at this location, primarily restaurants with alcohol sales. So in the BN district, restaurants are permitted. Restaurants with alcohol sales are not permitted. There's a few other districts that I'd like to point out that are different between the BN and the BN1. The restaurant use, of course, I just mentioned. In the county zoning ordinance, bars, nightclubs, and package stores in the use table are considered one use. So in any district where that's permitted, all three of those uses are permitted, and the BN district is one of those districts. Also, veterinary and veterinarians and animal boarding, and believe it or not, a heliport. I don't think we've got any heliports in outside of industrial areas, but it is a permitted use. Now, all those uses I just mentioned, although they are permitted in the proposed BN district, they also require approval by the Zoning Board of Appeals. So should someone want to establish a use or one of those uses I mentioned within the BN zoning district, they would then have to file an application with the Zoning Board of Appeals for special use approval. That would include a separate public hearing in which they would go into the details of the proposal, and the Board of Appeals would make a ruling as to whether or not to permit it based on the ZBA criteria. In reviewing and analyzing this proposal, really found that at this location, the BN zoning classification with those uses that I mentioned is not a classification that we think would have a negative impact on the neighborhood at large. We also are given some consideration to the fact that it would certainly be a community benefit to have this property redeveloped, as it has been a heavy vehicle repair shop for many, many years, at least a couple of decades, based on the records that we had available to us. In terms of analysis, a determination, we believe regarding potential impacts of the zoning change has to be made. So when we looked at the differences, we did find that those differences were not substantial enough to import negative impacts on this neighborhood. There is existing BN across from this property, and we feel like it is a district that is appropriate as shown on the zoning map. With that, we are recommending approval to rezone the property from the current BN1 EO to the proposed BN EO. And Madam Chair, I'll take any questions from the commission if there are any.
All right. The applicant is here.
My name is Robert McCorkle from the law firm of McCorkle, Johnson & McCoy, representing the petitioner. So I'm getting me set back up here again. Okay. It's better. Thank you again for your time and your patience with having to deal with me twice in a row. I think everyone's pretty familiar with this piece of property. If you've ever driven down LaRoche or been to the Wild Dock Bar or been by Hancock Day School, you have very likely driven past this site. It's wedged in between LaRoche and Howard Foss Drive. As mentioned by staff, the intersection was recently improved to create the roundabout, which you see in this picture here, which is very, very nice improvement as I drive on that road a lot. It's been a good improvement to the area. The property has always been commercially zoned, I believe, since Chatham County adopted its zoning ordinance. And Powers Auto Repair and Marine Repair is what's there now. I know it's been there for decades. I'm not sure exactly how far back, but it's quite a long time. I did bring a couple of pictures of the property just so you can see it if it's been a while since you've driven by there. This is from the LaRoche side, looking at the entrance to Powers Auto Repair here. And this is on the back side on Howard Foss as you're heading towards the roundabout. You come around this side, this is farther down the backside here. I show all this just to show you that this is generally what the state of the property is currently and has been for decades. There are cars in various states of repair on the property, as well as a lot of jet skis and some boats and some other heavy equipment being repaired that kind of sits around the site. And then there's a backside of the site back here, which used to have a lot more equipment, but now it's been cleaned out a little bit. The purpose of this rezoning is to allow my client, who is purchasing a property, to bring something what hopefully is a little more neighborhood friendly to the site. Since the intersection has been improved, I think it's a great opportunity to have a new commercial intersection there and some commercially useful properties there that can benefit the neighbors in the surrounding area. The specific purpose of this is to provide for a restaurant, most likely what will be a restaurant and perhaps some light retail on that corner. It's got a nice little yard out there looking out at the roundabout, and it really is kind of a nice site to add a restaurant to the area to go along with the Wild Dock Bar, which is around the corner. I think any use on the site that's allowed under the BN district that we're requesting would be a vast improvement over the use that is currently there. Hopefully, I believe the neighbors believe so too. I think Marcus mentioned the pre-meeting, they've had some calls from neighbors asking what was going on or what we were trying to do. Nobody, to my knowledge, has ever raised any negative comments to our request, more like just wanting to know what's going on and seeing you know, what changes are coming, although maybe we'll hear something different today. We agree with staff and the staff recommendation that this rezoning will not have any adverse impact on the neighboring properties. They've had this commercial use to them next to them for a long time. As Marcus mentioned, there's really only two or three uses in the change in zoning that would even be possible here realistically. And all of those uses require us to have a conditional use approval. So we will have to go back and show some more detail if we get the property rezoned about what it is we want to do, what it's going to look like, and have another public hearing. So all the neighbors in the same radius will again have another opportunity to see what it is we're doing and comment at that time. And so with that, we support staff's recommendation and would ask for your approval.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
A question for staff. The property across LaRoche Avenue, could you put the zoning map back up? The RB1, can you tell me what an RB1?
Yeah, sure. That particular district is residential business. It's similar to neighborhood business, except it has fewer permitted commercial uses. I should also mention that property is currently vacant and undeveloped, so there isn't anything on that property at this time. There was a building there up until a few years ago that was demolished.
Correct. And the last business that was on that property was a lounge. Is that correct? A bar?
I believe that's right. Yes, sir. It would have been a non-conforming use under the current zoning.
Okay. And to your knowledge, was there any issues with that property? as it was?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. And then the IP going, I would say, due north?
Yes, sir.
Is a fraternal organization. I believe they serve alcohol as well. Is that correct?
It was at one time, Mr. Noah. And when I visited this site recently, it appeared to be operating as a car wash. And prior to that, I think it may have operated as a takeout restaurant. So it's been a number of uses over the years. But the fraternal lodge that was there at one time is no longer operating. I know for some period of time they rented the building out for events, but that hasn't been done in some time.
Correct. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Is there anyone else who has questions? All right, I don't know if I have a question so much as I have a comment. I do have some concerns about access for a restaurant, it being so close to the roundabout, the access could be a little tricky. So I'll leave it at that. And do we have any citizens out there? I understand we have at least one. If there are other people who would like to comment, please use the raise your hand feature. Mr. Spadowski, would you like to comment? David Spadowski?
Yes, this is David Spadowski.
All right, go ahead with your comment.
Yes, I live directly across from this property on Jasmine Avenue. And I've been here for close to 30 years. So I'm quite familiar with the way the automotive shop has kind of scattered their vehicles throughout the property. And it really is kind of an eyesore as far as that goes. But yeah, my concern is at one point, whenever you guys were talking about the RB1 across from on La Roche Avenue, that was a bar called Chuckles. And at that time, there was numerous situations to where, you know, alcohol was involved with patrons and it flowed over into the neighborhood. Now, I know across the street is commercial. But yet, in order for you to change this up, the possibilities of a bar or a nightclub now can be in play. And of course, you're within, right across the street from that is St. John the Baptist Church. They own the property there. And then less than 400 foot down La Roche is a Jehovah's Witness Church. Wouldn't that implicate no alcohol sales, or would that be something that, say, for instance, we would have to vote on? Or you guys would have?
Ms. Jarrett, I can comment on that. And I'm certainly not an expert on the county's alcohol ordinance, but my understanding is that those distance requirements that I think the gentleman is speaking about don't apply to restaurants that serve alcohol, but they would apply to things like bars, as well as packaged alcohol sales.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. That right now is my concern. It's a moment. You know, I just want to make sure we don't end up with the bar right directly across the street, or say, for instance, a dog kennel. Because with that, you know, of course, I also see on the paperwork it would have to be approved. Correct. If say,
yes,
for instance, I'm going to put a dog kennel.
Yeah, animal boarding is permitted, presuming that it could have zoning board of appeals approval, which would be a separate public hearing process.
Yes.
That the neighborhood would be notified of.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, we were just kind of concerned about the noise and stuff that would come from that. Say, for instance, you know, the restaurant deal didn't go through, but yet it was zoned to the BN1. And of course, you know, there's other things that could be thrown on the table, and, you know, a dog kennel across from you can definitely make noise. That would be a major concern.
All right. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Sadowski? All right. Is there anyone else out there? Okay. Do I have any board discussion? Do I have a motion?
Ms. Coles, I make the motion that we approve the staff's recommendation of approval.
Noah, second.
All right, I have a motion to approve staff recommendation. Mr. Ledger, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody, how do you vote?
Aye.
And Mr. Watkins, how do you vote?
No.
Mr. Stevens, how do you vote? Mr. Stevens, Dwayne Stevens? Mr. Irvin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Is that Mr. Stevens? Okay. I also vote yes. Ms. Epstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Coles, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Parker, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Noah, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
And Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. All right, our next item is special use approval request for 120 East 42nd Street. Mr. Lotson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to queue up a few exhibits here. Give me 1 second. This petition is a request for special use approval to operate a microbrewery at an existing commercial building at 120 East 42nd Street. In the city zoning ordinance, a microbrewery is defined as a facility involved in the creation of malt beverages that produce fewer than 15,000 barrels per year. It's a permitted use in the TC1 zoning district where this property is, pursuant to special use approval by the mayor and alderman. This property is in the streetcar historic district. You can see it here on the vicinity map. And it is developed with a vacant commercial warehouse on the north side between Abercorn Street and Drayton Street. The building on the site is approximately 4,500 square feet in size, which is the shaded area here in the hatch square, or rectangle rather, and the portion of the property immediately to the west is an off-street parking lot associated with that building. This is a zoning map that shows the subject property in the TC1 zoning classification. Around the subject property are commercial uses of varying types as well as office. In this aerial map, which is the subject property, both of the buildings immediately east of the property are commercial. The properties to the south include restaurants and convenience stores. Actually, this property that I'm highlighting here, this building has been demolished recently. The properties across Abercorn are also commercial offices, and there's some upper story residential in the building immediately across Abercorn Street. The petitioner, as I mentioned, is requesting the use of microbrewery. We did, as required by the ordinance, notify all the property owners within 300 feet, as well as the neighborhood association, who I believe may be participating in today's meeting. And in reviewing the special use criteria, staff did find that at this location in this existing commercial building, they did meet those criteria. We are recommending approval pursuant to those findings to establish the use at 120 East 42nd Street. The property, including the associated off-street parking lot, appear to be able to accommodate this request. The applicant has stated that the proposed improvements to the property would include facade improvements on the building, the existing fencing and landscaping on East 42nd Street and Drayton Street would be contextually consistent with recently redeveloped adjacent parcels. Although not required at this point, those plans will be presented to staff for review. But we are recommending approval, and today's action by this body will be forwarded to the mayor and alderman for consideration. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lawson. Is the applicant here? Come forward and state your name, please.
My name is Jeremy Hammonds.
And would you like to add anything to the comments so far?
No, I thought maybe my attorney would be speaking on the video, but Terry.
Mr. Bailey, are you out there? Would you like to speak?
Can you hear me?
Yes, could you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Terry Bailey. I'm the attorney for the applicant. I work with Taylor Fall Harper and Lampson. As stated by the planner, this is a straightforward request. We agree with the statements that have been said. This is a special use permit to allow this microbrewery in. Mr. Hammonds and Underdog Brewing are really excited about bringing this element to the community, and we're just here to answer any questions you guys have or concerns you have regarding the project.
All right, thank you. Does the commission have any questions for the applicant or the staff?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Heath Lloyd, City of Savannah. A question for the applicant as it relates to parking.
Yes.
Can you speak to how you're going to handle the parking requirement or what the intention is as it relates to the parking requirement?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty sizable lot, much larger than most you see in the area. It's 97 by 90 feet. I have a schematic done by a local company, and we're showing at the moment we can fit 19 spots in there. And there are some special ordinances that allow us, because we're in the streetcar district, to take some of our square footage off. So it actually matches the required spaces currently.
Okay. I assume you did not share that schematic with MPC staff?
I have not turned that in yet, but I can get it over to Marcus.
No, you're fine. We will work through those details if MPC staff is comfortable. In their report, they noted that they did not have confirmation as it relates to the parking, hence the question.
Perfect, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you. Is there, go ahead. Open. Is there anybody else on the line or any citizens who would like to comment on this? Thomas Square Neighborhood Association out there?
I'm not sure if they're on there, but Marcus has been sent an email from the vice president stating their unanimous support of the project.
All right, thank you. Any discussion by the commissioners? All right, I'll move in for a motion.
No, a motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Second.
All right, I have a motion to, and a second to approve staff recommendation. Mr. Lloyd, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Aye.
Mr. Watkins? Dr. Watkins?
Yes. Yes.
Dwayne Stevens? Mr. Stevens, how do you vote? Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
I vote yes. Ms. Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
And Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
All right, motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
All right, our last item is a major subdivision, the Friedman Track on Green Island Road.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This item is a request to approve a major subdivision on Green Island Road. Green Island Road is on Skidaway Island, and this property is at the terminus of Green Island Road. Near the intersection of Green Island Road and Loughborough Way. The petitioner is proposing to subdivide approximately 63 acres into 45 single-family lots. This map will show you the subject property at the terminus of Green Island Road here as it ends at the marsh. And this is a proposed plat that shows the single family lots around the perimeter here of the proposed new road, which would be called Grand Harbor Circle. And then there are also several townhome lots located here. The applicant did provide us also a general development plan, as one of the issues that came up in our initial review was secondary access, which will be a point of focus should this go forward in the future. This is an aerial map that shows the subject property. As you can see, it's undeveloped. Many of you will remember several years ago, a petition was brought to the Planning Commission for a congregate care facility development at this location, and that petition was eventually withdrawn and did not go forward for review. This property is zoned appropriately for single family residential, so the proposed uses are allowed. As I mentioned in the pre-meeting, as early as this afternoon or this morning, I should say, there have been some concerns raised by county engineering regarding the easternmost lots, or some of the easternmost lots, as it relates to stormwater management and the flood ordinance. There's a regulation in the subdivision regulations that the county engineer's office indicated they were concerned about and let me get this acronym correct, limits of moderate wave action.
Yeah.
And we do have someone from the office on today to answer some of these more specific engineering questions. The applicant's representative is also an engineer, so he'll be able to discuss that. But as I mentioned, although this plat, just from a subdivision standpoint, appears to meet most of the criteria as it relates to minimum lot sizes, these proposed lots would exceed the minimum requirements for the zoning district. They range in size between 8,300 square feet. The largest one proposed here is nearly 40,000 square feet. That's not an issue. The townhome residences range in size between 5,400 square feet and a little over 6,000 square feet. Each lot is proposed to have water and sewer services provided by Utilities Inc. of Georgia. So all the things we would typically look for in a subdivision appear that they can be met on this property. The proposed Grand Harbor Circle would be a 60-foot private right-of-way, which meets the county's regulation. However, based on our conversations, and these conversations have been ongoing between the applicant and county engineer's office, we believe that this item should be continued until the August 31st meeting to give the applicant and the county engineer an opportunity to address the concerns about development on these easternmost lots.
All right, thank you, Marcus. Is the applicant here?
This is John Giordano with Thomas and Hutton, representing the applicant, Bay Street Development Company. I appreciate everybody's time here today. As Marcus mentioned, there were some last minute discussions this morning regarding the Lemois line, which is the line that Marcus was referencing. That only does affect three lots, lots 17, 16, and 15, which are on the southeastern portion of the site. We've had some conversations. That's correct. These lots down here. I've had some conversations with county engineering staff this morning regarding that. So back when we were previously working on the last proposed project for this development tract, we had completed an analysis that indicated that we could place fill on the site and not have any adverse impacts on adjacent properties. These three lots are not only subject to the floodplain ordinance from a mitigation standpoint, which is what was addressed through the previous study that was submitted and approved, but there's also the LIMWA, the moderate wave action, limit of moderate wave action line. FEMA does allow development within the, or seaward of the LIMWA line. However, there are additional construction factors that need to be taken into account. All of those would be accounted for through the development of those properties, through those lots. Those items would be addressed at the time when the building permit application would be submitted. So this morning, based on what Mr. Lotson just mentioned, it sounds like they're asking for this project to be continued. I would request that, you know, per the original recommendation, that it be approved, but based on the condition that those three lots prior to issuance of a building permit for those lots, that, you know, we comply with all of the Chatham County Building Department's requirements. And we have the applicant here today as well to answer any questions. And at this point, if there's any additional questions, we'd be happy to answer.
All right. Are there any questions for the applicant or staff?
I have one.
Go ahead, Wayne.
Okay.
Whether or not we approve this or disapprove this, that action would be handled with engineering at a later date, as he stated. And if I'm speaking out of turn, someone correct me, but if this is only about the three lots and it needs to be handled with staff, they're gonna have to go through that process anyway, whether it's approved or not. But my other question is, and I think there was a previous map up prior to this one, the major subdivision. That one. I don't see this secondary emergency access road on the major subdivision plat.
That's correct. So this general development plan was what was initially submitted.
Correct.
In doing so, we were looking to get comments from both MPC staff as well as county engineering prior to moving forward with the development of the actual plat itself. So the secondary emergency access road, as you noted on the original general development plan, comes through at this location. On the subdivision plat, let me click back over, and I know Robert mentioned it, I guess there used to be the little box here where I could include something that we have, because I've got an updated general development plan. At this point, the secondary emergency access would come through at this location and still tie into Loughborough Way, but it would just be through the common area, which is what was all how it would always be handled, because that would be part of the common space for the community.
Did you say it would come through Loughborough Way?
No, it would connect to, sorry, not Loughborough Way, Green Island Road.
Okay, thank you.
Apology.
But there would be a secondary emergency access.
That's correct. And again, if there was the little thing that I could
show. I understand.
Julie, could you help him with that?
I've got an updated general.
My last question would be the 25-foot buffer that pretty much surrounds the property. Is that undisturbed?
That is. That's correct.
I have no further.
Yes.
My only question was, Marcus, with what the petitioner said, or is staff comfortable with us moving forward today?
Let me just say this, Mr. Cole. That is Mr. Coles, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. In our initial early on conversations this morning with county engineering, they did indicate that they felt like if the board went ahead and approved this today, they would ask that condition be added to the conditions in our recommendations, which we're fine with. As we talked further, it seemed to be more prudent, not knowing what the outcome was going to be with these three lots, that we continue it. So we understand that this is, you know, an inconvenience at minimum for the applicant, but we're not sure at this stage what the outcome is going to be with these three lots, if they're going to have to submit a highly revised plat or not, which was our reason for recommending a continuance. However, to Mr. Noah's point, the comments by County Engineering will have to be addressed, whether it be with this plat, a revised plat, or what have you. So we were trying to, I guess, not put the Planning Commission in a situation where you've made an approval and then you'll be seeing something maybe very similar to this have to come back to you at a future meeting because those comments weren't addressed early on.
Madam Chair, do we have staff online?
County staff?
Yes.
County Engineering?
I think it would be very important to hear in from them.
Okay. All right. It looks like Nick Milionis, are you available?
Yes.
To?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
This is Nick Milionis with Chatham County Engineering Department. I can speak a little bit to this. There is a LIMWA, and that is part of the flood damage prevention ordinance, but the requirement that impacts these lots is in the subdivision regulation. So that's one of the reasons we were concerned that it impacts the number of lots, how the layout can happen in this area. So in the subdivision regulations, in section 602.01E, the ground level within 20 feet of the building area in a lot shall be a minimum of 8 feet above mean sea level. And all those lots where the building footprint would be are at elevation 6 or approximately 6 in that area. So something needs to happen for those lots to be created before they are created. So that's why we're raising it now, because the number of lots could be impacted because of that.
All right, thank you. Are there other questions?
Do I get a chance to?
I'm sorry.
Can I have an opportunity to respond?
Sure.
Okay. So I totally agree with Nick regarding the elevation 8 and bringing that area up. I would like to note that fill placed within the LIMWA in order to bring up to elevation 8. Per FEMA regulations, you cannot provide structural fill. These structures would have to be built on piers, which is permitted by FEMA. So the structures within these three lots would have to be elevated. The fill material underneath would be designated as landscape fill or just general site fill. The reasoning for that is this LIMWA area is subject to wave action. So the reason we can't have structural fill is waves come in, pulls the material out. These structures are not going to be required to be supported by that structural material because they are going to be on piers.
Okay. Mr. Milionis, your subdivision regulations say that the fill is required, and does it have to be structural fill or can it be cosmetic?
The subdivision regulation does not address fill. It only states that the ground level within the building area has to be above that 8 foot elevation. So if it doesn't exist, it shouldn't be subdivided into a new lot. So that's what we're stating it now is it's addressing, if we're going to create these lots, they need to be at elevation 8 when the lots are being created.
Okay. My concern, my engineering is coming out. My concern is the fact that we are filling lots and there's no immediate adjacent impact, according to you. But if we fill up the floodplain, that water has to go somewhere, correct?
That's correct, ma'am.
We know where that water is going.
We've already performed the analysis and submitted that to Chatham County. That was actually part of the previous project that was provided. And Michael Blakely and Chatham County Engineering Department approved that study. It noted that we could place fill on the site and meet the Chatham County Flood Damage Prevention Ordinance requirements.
Okay. Mr. Milionis, your feeling is that without seeing a grading plan, we really can't approve these lots, or we can't approve these lots at this point, period, because of the existing issues with the wave action?
No, it's the elevation. That's the issue.
Okay.
And you are correct that anytime you fill, no matter what model you run, it still has an impact. That is not the requirements for modeling this, is it has to have an impact of a foot or greater to be restricted. So anytime you fill, it's going to have an impact in the neighboring area, unless you have cuts to offset that fill.
Understood. Understood. Agree. Yes.
Mr. Milianos, would your department be okay with an approval with a caveat that those lots be looked at further?
Yeah, we're okay if as long as it's stated that lots 15 through 17 need to be raised to elevation 8.
I don't think we would get into that, but just a caveat that they would work out lots 15, 16, and 17 with county engineering before.
I don't think that that's what he says we can, I mean.
Well, that's what I was asking him. Can it be done so that they can work through this and not have to wait to another meeting? That engineering.
Madam Chair, may I comment on this?
Sure.
I just wanted to make a quick statement for the rest of the Planning Commission members who are considering action on this, because I know we don't see a lot of major subdivisions come through. But just in terms of the process, what you're being asked to do today is review a major subdivision, and it's considered a major subdivision because the number of lots exceed 4. So we found in our review that just in terms of the development standards, it met those things that would be typical for a major subdivision. This regulation that Mr. Milianos is referring to is certainly within the subdivision regulations, and it does have to be addressed. My point being is that should you approve this today with conditions, without conditions, however you choose to do it, it's not done until the final plat is approved and recorded. And that process doesn't happen until everyone's comments are satisfied. So that may give the board, you know, some relief in terms of this still will have to be reviewed by both the MPC staff as well as the county staff and others before this plat is actually recorded and these lots are created. But I think what Mr. Milianos's point about these 3 lots is that the question is, should we be recommending these lots be created before we know if this Limwa issue has been addressed?
Okay, I appreciate what you said, and your recommendation is? Go ahead. Okay, I've got it. Thank you. Melanie Wilson, Executive Director. One of the reasons that we recommended a continuance in this case was to make sure that all of the concerns that the county engineering staff, we had a few when we discussed this internally as well, were addressed so the applicant didn't have to keep coming back and forth to get approvals. It's kind of like we want to get everything worked out so that when you're finished with this and, you know, I sign off on this, it's done. What I've heard is that there's a couple options, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, rest of the board, is that there was some discussion about approving the subdivision but eliminating those lots. But this is a major subdivision, so we still are trying to get it all done at one time so that we can figure out what's going on with those other lots. So that's why the staff recommended what they recommended. But if there is a change, it's going to change your layout, you're going to have to come back to get this approved. So I just wanted to make it clear that's one of the reasons as well that we wanted to try to continue to get it worked out with the county staff.
based on what you submitted to us initially for approval and review. And it's 3 weeks is what the time frame is, about 3 weeks.
Thank you. All right. Any additional questions?
The applicant would like to.
Please. My name is David Hornsby. I'm the developer with Bay Street Development Company. We're running into some contractual problems by y'all postponing this. We were under approval from Marcus. And what we'd like to do is to move forward. We think we can work this out this following week with engineers. If not, we're on the schedule for August 27th for the county. We'll be either approved or not approved by that point. We request that y'all humbly request our proposal for our site plan approval. And we're zoned, our neighbors are happy. And this is very rare for us to have a development like this where everybody's happy. But we will be able to work this out. If not, we'll turn it into open space, or either do something else with the dirt. But we're running into some tight time constraints that you could really help us by letting us move forward to the county. And that's where it's going to be decided anyway between now and August 27th.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Motion.
We haven't heard from any citizens yet. Are there any citizens out there who would like to share?
Madam Chair, the director would like to add something.
One of the things that we could do, since the applicant has indicated that he has some issues with regards to moving forward contractually, is that you all could make a recommendation and have those areas that are concerned shown as open space, and then come back to deal with fixing it at a later time, if that is okay with you all, so that you can move forward. If it gets taken care of before a final decision is made, fine. But is that what I heard you say, or did I hear
Let's
you say?
This one, because when it open space, it gets everybody excited. How about we do it as a future development phase until that? That way we still can come back and submit for 3 more lots or whatever this is going to be.
Madam Chair, for clarity, if we approve this subdivision with all of the lots, that does not give them the right to build on these lots. They still have to meet and all requirements from Chatham County.
That's so correct, Mr. Noah.
Whether we approve this with the lots or without, they cannot do anything until they meet with Nick and Mr. Milionis and his staff and clears this up. It sounds like, to me, that we would approve this development and then let it take its ride through the county engineering department. And if they can't build on it, well, then they can decide what to do with the lots. They can put playground equipment on it. I don't know. But whether we send it back or not, it's not going to change what engineering does with it.
Ms. Wilson?
I was just going to say, Mr. Noah, in some ways, what we have seen happen in other subdivisions where something like that has happened is that the applicant has, or the, the applicant with their attorney comes back and says that they've got a vested right because an actual lot was approved. Now, if this applicant has indicated that he's okay with having it for future development so that they can move on, that gives them some time to work out something with engineering to determine what is going to work out best for those lots and to move forward. But, there are impacts when you do approve something that has an actual lot if you're saying that it's a buildable lot. That's one of the reasons we're trying to get it worked out before it moved forward. But
quick question. If those 3 lots were shown as future development and that was worked out at a later date, would that be just handled as a minor subdivision at that point?
Yes, it would. Yes.
If the board decides we could do that, they would agree that we would have those for future development, because it might be that it ends up being 2 lots, then they could make a recommendation that we handle it at staff level, and then that way it's done pretty quick. We need to check and make sure that you're meeting the other conditions, but yeah, it could be done very quickly.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Lee Smith. I mean, it's been made clear by the developer or applicant that if we approve as is, doesn't pass muster with my staff, then you've got to come back. You said you would do that or change it. So my recommendation is a motion going forward to approve as requested by the developer and the applicant.
Second.
I don't think we're at the motion point yet. Discussion. Recommendation. Does anyone else have any comments? Anybody out there in computer land? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve as submitted by applicant developer.
Second, Noah.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to ask a question of the motion maker, please. Mr. Smith, on our original recommendation for approval, we did include a number of conditions that are standard with a final plat major subdivision. Would you be comfortable in including those conditions in your recommendation?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Amended motion to approve staff recommendation with conditions.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have a question about the process. So approved as is, then bounces to the county engineering. They then do their magic. It comes out that they have to convert those three lots into two lots. And now we have a change in the plat that we approved. At that point, it comes back to us to approve again, or now it's a minor, those three lots are now minor subdivision and being reduced from three to two, and therefore it doesn't have to come back to us.
Ms. Jarrett, in my opinion, that revised plat would come back to the Planning Commission as a new major subdivision.
Okay.
Okay, and if that is the case, would that meet the petitioner's obligations for contractual obligations?
Yes, I think we have a very difficult timeline. Seller. These two brothers are in their 90s, and they're very difficult. If this is not going to work out at the county, which I have all indications that it will, I don't know what we'll do, but anyway, I think August 27th, this thing will probably be finished and we'll move on, but we probably won't be coming back. I don't think you'll see it, but I think we can work this out with the county.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. I suggest we move forward with the motion.
Madam Chair, Heath Lloyd, yes, with the Savannah. Can you clarify the motion, please?
I'm going to ask the motion maker to clarify the motion.
The motion was to approve as submitted with the conditions placed upon in the staff report by staff, and I assume agreed upon by the developer.
Correct.
But just to be clear, to Mr. Smith, are you just saying that we're going to approve staff recommendation?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
More comments? Okay, let's move forward. Mr. Lloyd, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Walwoody?
Aye.
Dr. Watkins?
Yes.
Dwayne Stevens? Dwayne Stevens? Joe Irvin?
Yes.
Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Travis Coles?
Yes.
Eula Parker?
Yes.
Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Lee Smith?
Yes.
Lorene Bowles?
Yes.
I say no. All right, motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the report from the nominating committee has been postponed until our August 31st meeting. And I don't know of any other new business or any other business that this board has. Go ahead.
I have one item. If we could follow up with the use of our computer screens, several months back, we talked about it. Is there a way that we can, I know that myself and I saw Commissioner Cole's looking at his phone, trying to look at maps, and it's very difficult when it's so small. And I believe my fellow commissioner, Mr. Wywoody, also made the comment prior to the meeting. So if we could get an update on that.
I'll make sure that we have an update with you for the next meeting in that case. The other thing I wanted to take a moment to announce is that we are having kind of like a last run of meetings on the comp plan, with the first meeting being tonight at the Moses Jackson Center that's located at 1410 Richard Street here in Savannah. I know that both the city and the county residents have expressed some interest and they probably will be attending. The rest of the meeting dates are located on our website. Basically, they're consecutive Tuesdays and until the end of this month. So if you have some interest, please feel free to come out to hear what the citizens are saying with regards to the planning document, and know that we are moving forward. We've sent the draft to the state as well, which is basically the CRC, as well as the state DCA, and waiting to hear comments back from them. So we do have a small window of time to make some tweaks to the document and get this last one of feedback from the community as well as you. So this gives you a chance to also look at it one last time.
Thank you. Anything else? We're adjourned.